All right, good evening. Judges chapter 6, and we will begin reading Judges 6 and verse 1, please. Judges 6 and verse 1. All right, let's all stand and we'll read this passage or a couple of verses together. For all of you that have been in Sunday school and in Sunday night, you'll recognize I could not be different from what I was this morning in church service. Church service, I'm assuming most of you know I was talking about praying. Is everybody aware of that, that was alive? Tonight is just answering some questions. I did something. I would recommend you do it, but only a few of you would make it through it. Not because you're dumb, because it just gets to be just like frazzling. I printed out the article from Wikipedia on the Exodus. And it's a pretty brutal article. So I want to say this to all of you, whether or not you understand a word I say tonight, if you understand the teaching, look at me, of the scripture, you'll never ask the wrong question and not find the answer you're looking for because you're asking the wrong question. So, we're just going to look at two verses. We're going to very quickly recoup. And since somebody had a very long service this morning, 7 o'clock is our goal, even before it, if we can get done. 6 verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. I got a question. If the Midianite peoples are controlling the country, or excuse me, not the country, the area, how would you know if they were Jewish people or if they were Midianite people? See, we just read this stuff over and over, and we're not really paying attention. So again, an entire article on Wikipedia by scholars. The scholars actually said, the only people that believe this stuff is literal and historical are fundamentalists. And I'm going to tell you right up front, what you're going to hear tonight and last Sunday night has nothing to do with fundamentalism. It has everything to do with reading the text of Scripture and taking seriously the things that everybody seems to ignore. Verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. Otherwise, Israel is kind of like this. On the coast, there's flatlands. Yes? By the way, you got to get that geography book that most of you bought. In the middle, there's hill country. Not really mountains, but high hills and rugged terrain. And what happens on the east? The Rift Valley, which is the valley of the Dead Sea, the lowest place on earth. By the way, this is a little postage stamp country which has tremendously different land. Tremendously different. And folks, it matters because God's people weren't hanging out in their jacuzzi. They were hiding in caves. I wonder if you did a survey, would you say, oh, look at how many Jews live in the caves? We'll come there. We're going to go back to the same questions. By the way, if you're not used to thinking in questions, and I heard some anti-vaxxing this morning, you do understand, do not anti-vax to the guy you're looking at. I don't deal well with stupid. I actually think, and I think about these issues, because they probably won't bother most of you until one of your children go to university and learn all about how the Bible isn't true, and they've never heard a word about reality. Yeah, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. In your notes at the very beginning, I have the questions. The question begins this, if Israel conquered the promised land and established a kingdom and defeated all their enemies, why can't we find Israel? Or why isn't Israel found in, if you don't remember that word, midden means trash dump, yes, garbage, or worse, but at least that. And by the way, in most places in the ancient world, you put your trash and you did your business in the same place. I'm assuming you know that. Why don't the surrounding nations mention Israel or fighting Israel? Why can't we find Jewish cities? Well, about 3 weeks ago, or 2.5 weeks ago, I got out, you know, did my normal stuff at home, got ready, was driving in, but for some reason it was dark out. It was probably an overcast day, and my bedroom was really dark. I just got all dressed, look back in the bedroom, look where I have my coat, not this one, but I have four coats. For all of you that know me, they almost all look the same, so you won't know which one I'm wearing, because they all look the same. I'm boring. I look for my coat, and it wasn't there. So I thought, oh, it's in the car. I left it in the back seat, where it's at right now, by the way. So I got out of the house, got to the garage, opened the car, looked back there, and thought, it's not back there. Got in the car, drove here, but when I'm driving here, I'm not worried because I'm assuming, well, if it isn't at home, it is in the back seat. It's a church. It's in my office. I walk into my office, and it's like, it's not in the office. Then I thought, well, maybe I'll borrow one of Pastor Coax's coats. Oh, that's a scary thought. I'm panicking, folks. My first thought is, where did that coat go? Maybe I left that coat, and then I was thinking, where did I... This happened on a... I don't know. I think I had been out with somebody to Toluca's down in Waukegan. It's a terrible place. You've been there, a terrible place. We'd been out, and I thought, did I leave my coat down there? Because I took my coat off for some reason. I'm starting to panic now. If it's not at home, not in my car, not in there, I mean, there's not too many more places. Can I tell you something? I was asking the wrong question. Question should have been, why didn't you turn on your lights in your room and you'd have seen your coat exactly where it's always at, but you couldn't see because it was too dark in the bedroom. Now, folks, that's just stupid, but here's the question. Every one of these questions assume what the Bible doesn't say. And I want to say this to you carefully, forgetting inspiration. We're not even talking about the Bible's the word. Of course, it's the word of God. But we can cut that off. We're just talking about when you get done tonight, you just read the scripture, you're like, I'm not getting why they're asking the questions. I'm going to ask everybody a question before we go one inch further. When did Israel have a central sanctuary and a central capital city? Raise your hand. My daughter. They finally got Jerusalem under control during David's reign. When did the time of the judges begin? About 1400. When did David reign? Around 1000. 400. And so we got people looking for that which didn't exist. Okay. So we're going to look back at tonight. By the way, where was my coat at? Turn the dumb light on. You'll see where the coat is. I was so embarrassed when I went home because I was panicking. I was about ready to start calling restaurants that I had been to. Did you see a coat for a very slim? No, anyhow, in your notes, let's go through the bullet points from last week. Where do we begin? First of all, there was no widespread destruction of cities in Canaan. So, by the way, friends, from the 1800s to the 1950s and 60s, they went all over this land looking for destroyed cities. And yet the text says there was exactly three destroyed. The first one was Jericho. The second one was Ai. And we're not even sure where Ai is because where they used to think it is, they actually think it's another place now. And that was destroyed. And then we have the city of Hatzar, or Hazar, you might call it. I'm saying Hebrew. All right, number two. Well, I've said there's only three cities were destroyed. Number two, there was a widespread reusing of cities, farms, homes. So here you are looking for destruction, and what really happened was when the people were killed off or run off, Jewish people just moved in, took over their farms. Number three, there was also a widespread assimilation to Canaanite culture. If 1,000 years from now, we could come back to America and look for Filipinos in America, the only hope you would have is there was some sort of a disaster that covered up a Filipino home, and you could tell it was a Filipino home for the 400 pair of shoes right in the front of the house. By the way, look, I'm not being goofy. Do people like wear a sign saying I'm a Filipino-American? We're looking for, by the way, the Jewish people, every passage says they just blend it in. Look at me. Read, if you have the guts, the article on the Exodus, and they say these people were just Canaanites. Precisely. That's exactly what the Bible says. They just merge with the other cultures. Were they supposed to? Well, that's a separate question. Number four. There was even a wider spread assimilation of pagan religion. I won't go any further with that. Number five. And friends, number five, unless you're thinking tonight, will blow right past you. The author. Who is the author of Judges? We do not know the human author, but who's the ultimate author of Judges? The Holy Spirit. One of the things you will find is this. The Holy Spirit, the ultimate author, believed Israel was Israel. You say, that is the most dumb statement I've ever heard. Well, I'm going someplace with that in a minute. What do I mean by that is this. The author of Judges tells the whole truth about the whole mess. But he believed that there was such a thing as Israel, meaning Israelites, having this in your notes, common descent. They came. They all descended from the 12 tribes. They also had, to the right, common origins. Any writer in the Bible would always say that the origins go back to Abraham, God choosing Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. Friends, that's the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. You can't get away from the Abrahamic covenant. So we have common descent from these 12 tribes. We have common origins. We have a common language. And common language needs to be nuanced. With what? It's a more or less common language, because in Judges 12, we have a dialectical difference between Shibboleth and Sibboleth. And the only difference is it's the sheen and the whatever the other one's called. I can't even, my mind isn't on Hebrew letters. And it's just a dot's in a different spot. Sh or s. By the way, there were dialectical differences. Even in the Hebrew, in the Bible, there are slight dialectical differences a couple places. Dialects. Do dialects happen? We have a lovely lady back here, born in El Salvador, grew up in Belize. Is all Spanish the same, sister? Or are there differences in Spanish? Can you tell if someone's from Puerto Rico? Can you tell if someone is from El Salvador? Have you ever heard someone speak from Argentina? Can you tell they're from Argentina? I can, because they're going to say Asia. Everything has a zha. And I don't speak Spanish that well. By the way, folks, more or less they had a common language, more or less. But even the people knew there was enough of a distinction to say, you're not from us. All right. Do British speak like Americans? Well, they have all kinds of weird expressions. And I have never called a person, if I said in America, my wife and I saw this in a program, if I looked at someone and said, they're a cow, that means they're big. In England, that means you're behaving badly. I acted like a cow. I didn't know cows behave badly particularly. All right, in your notes. So they have common descent, common origins, common language, a common faith, or at least they were supposed to have a common faith, yes? This is from the author's perspective. And frankly, they had a common history. And you say, what was the common history? Very simply, friends, they started in Canaan, they went to Egypt, there was the Exodus, there was the wilderness, and they go into the Promised Land. All of these things the author believed. I say in your notes, skip the verses, and I say this. We're only going to read three verses in this text for time. Under the verses, I say this. This is confirmed by the ubiquitous use of the word Israel in several forms. Ubiquitous means throughout the entire book. And friends, almost never does it mean Israel. If we're thinking Israel, the whole people, it's almost always Israel, meaning a tribe. You see it right, and we'll just look at a couple verses. Chapter 1, verse 27 says, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bashan and her towns, nor of Anakt and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, But the Canaanites would dwell in the land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. And by the way, it just, without you blinking, it has then done what? Blended Israel with what? Manasseh. So it's, there's just talking about one tribal group without telling you, praying with you, because the author saw all of these tribal groups as Israel. But friends, I'm going someplace. Please stick with me as far as you can. Number six. Number six is even weirder. The Israelites, the actual people from any of the 12 tribes, would have seen themselves as Israelites at least secondarily. So, I do this on a regular basis because I like people. I'm interested in people. And people know, but sometimes it's hard to say it. So I will ask somebody a question. If they speak Spanish, I will ask them, where's your family from? I've asked at least 1,000 people that question who speak Spanish, minimally, in polite conversation, good interchange. If they're from Mexico, without exception, I have yet to have one say, I'm from Mexico. Now look at me. Nothing bad. I'm just talking about Mexico. If you ask Ralph Warren, if I'm in another country, where are you from? I never, ever, ever say I'm from Illinois. Every Mexican that I've talked to this point, and maybe it's how they understand the question, probably, they'll always say I'm from Michoacan, or I'm from Jalisco, or they will tell you the state they're from. Now, you might know more than me, Rolando, but Mexicans tend to be very proud of states. Is that about right? By the way, this isn't bad. I believe if we could go back to the time of the judges and say, where are you from? Who are you? I think most of them would say, I'm from Manasseh. Hello? I'm from Judah. Not from this Judah, from Judah the tribe. By the way, friends, I think we're kidding ourselves. I do not think the average Jewish Israelite saw themselves as Israelite only if you finally got around to it. You understand? By the way, all right, here's Pastor Warren again. I'm in another country. Somebody says, where are you from? Am I going to say Illinois? All right, let me ask you a second question. Am I going to say Zion? They would like, first of all, if they're a Christian, they think, Zion? What am I going to tell them? I generally try to be more precise, but fuzzy enough to give me some leverage. I generally say, I'm from near Chicago. Are we really close to Chicago? Yeah, well, we're closer to Chicago than my family from central Illinois is. But friends, why do I not say, you wouldn't say I'm from Zion because that wouldn't help anybody. Oh, by the way, it doesn't help them much when you tell them you're from Chicago. Because the average person outside of America thinks of America as their country. When I tell people the state of Illinois is like half to two-thirds the size of the Philippines, they're like, and we're an average state. You know, you can take the big states and the Philippines fits in it 12 times. They can't comprehend. So identification's weird in your notes. By the way, I'm going someplace with this. I do believe the author of Scripture saw these people as Israelites. I think the average Israelite kind of saw themselves as Israelite, but that wasn't their first thought. Just like in Mexico, and I use Mexico. Rolando, you might have knowledge of this from Afghanistan. I don't know if these people say, I'm Afghanistan. They're going to think tribally. I think that's what the Jewish people saw. They thought tribally. Filipinos are this way. You go to Hawaii, and you see Filipino. There are no Filipinos in Hawaii. A lot of Ilocanos in Hawaii, but no Filipinos. He says, is that bad or good? Just the way it is, folks. And you say, aren't they the same? All right. Number six, let's read it all. The Israelites would have seen themselves as Israelites, at least secondarily. And I say this is the problem of distinct and separate tribes, tribalism. You just start reading the book of Judges and not the author, because the author is oftentimes going to say Israel or Israelites. Or sons of Israel. But when you look at the people, well, chapter 4, verse 10, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali tribes. Next page. chapter 6, verse 7. It says, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Of course they did. But when you go down to chapter 6, verse 34, when something is going to happen about the oppression, this is what it says. But by the way, the author says, children of Israel. 6:34, when it's describing the actual events, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who were gathered after him, and sent messengers into Asher, and into Zebulun, and into Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. Chapter 8, verse 1 talks about men of Ephraim. My point is, friend, I think people say, why can't we find Israel floating around? The author saw Israelites, but the people saw themselves more as their tribe, their group. Secondarily, I think the Israelite, yeah, we're part of this Israel, but we're really, I'm from this group. Look at me. This is the reason they could fight each other so easily. Friends, it's possible that Americans could fight each other. We did it one time. Why did we do it? Because we still envisioned ourselves as different groups, even different people. Yes. Now, in your notes, I say this. Some, maybe many of the groups, maybe anyhow, and I'm not going to demonstrate this tonight. Some, maybe many of the groups seem to be subgroups of tribes. When you really read Judges, you don't even get the tribal groups. You get little breaks of the tribal groups. And they seem to be oriented, they seem to be oriented to a city or a location or even a family. So friends, I think if we could just go back there and say, hey, I'm Ralph Warren, I'm from Chicago area, who are you, where are you from? I think most of them would say, well, I'm from over here in this city, and then I'm from the tribe of Manasseh, yeah, I'm Israelite too. I do not think the people of that day thought of this global group. Look at me. I don't think they thought of this global group until Saul and specifically David and Solomon. And what happened when Solomon died? We went right back to tribes and groups. The people that were loyal to each other. All right. Number 7, Israel's neighbors. You say, what neighbors are you talking about? I'm not going to list them, but here they are. Ammon, or Ammonites, Moabites, Philistines. By the way, Ammonites and Moabites, look up here, folks. There's this thing called the Rift Valley, the valley. There's the Sea of Galilee. There's the Jordan River. There's the Dead Sea. The Ammonites are down over here, Moabites under them, Edomites under them. Over here on the coastal are the five Philistine cities. Phoenicia, Tyre and Sidon's north of that. You have Syrians in the far north. Look at me. This whole country is surrounded. If you could have asked them, is there such a thing as Israelites? I think most of them would have looked at you confused because they would have had contact with tribal groups. That's who they had contact with. The people didn't think of themselves as waving an American flag. They thought of themselves as groups. So in your notes, number 7, Israel's neighbors might have seen Israel as Israel, but probably more tribally, with some sort of connection. They would have, I mean, it's kind of like this. When you meet Filipinos, you know, there's certainly connections, and Filipinos recognize the connection, outsiders will, but not the folks in our church. Most of the Christians aren't this way. But if you think all Filipinos love each other, that's because you haven't been to the Philippines. And all these tribes just hold hands and sing kumbaya. I mean, listen, right over here is a miracle. You have a very sophisticated young lady from Cebu married to a hillbilly from Dumaguete. Is that about right, brother? And that's how you would have thought of people from Negros, correct? Yes, I know how that is. She still reminds him regularly. Number 8. Israel's superpower neighbors. All right, everybody look at me. Who are the superpowers? Not the Philistines, not the Moabites, not the Ammonites, Moabites. Any, no. Superpowers, friends, are Egypt. To the far north would be not really Syria, that was all split up, but it would be the Hittites. Because the Hittites were way up in Turkey, but they came down into Syria. Over on one side would be the Mitanni. This young lady over here can talk to you about Mitanni and the Hurrians, and if you can explain that to me, I'm a better person. By the way, the Assyrians, look up here. Don't get lost in the notes. We're asking a question. How did the superpowers see these little tribal groups? All right, let me ask you a question. How do you see Costa Rica? The average American doesn't even know where Costa Rica is. Why would they? Why? Costa Rica's not important. I'm sorry, folks, if you think the Egyptians are going to be writing long books on these Israelites, you've got to be kidding me. They saw them, as I say in your notes, this is, and when our first record, 1207, 1208, Merumpta Stella, that we find a mention of Israel by the Egyptians, it's basically the Pharaoh said, I went up there and destroyed the whole group. Well, first of all, he didn't destroy the whole group. That was a lie. But he saw them, like I say in your notes, Israel's superpowers, the people surrounding them, Egyptians, Hittites, Mitanni, Hurrians, and that's a real complex mess, and the Assyrians, they would have seen or understood Israel as a nuance and irritation and only tribal at best. At best. In your notes, how would Israel have been seen by the superpowers? Highly tribal. So, friends, the Egyptians loved to go. I'm assuming you know that Israel is like, you know this area right out in front? What do we call that area? When you walk in the doors between those doors and this, what do you call it? The lobby. Israel was the lobby of the Middle East. Everybody had to come through parts of Israel to get any place. By the way, what is the messiest place in your house? That in the bathroom. It's always messy. Why? Because that's where everybody goes through there. Friends, the Egyptians were always going up and fighting or acting like they were fighting and then going home, writing these things on stones, lying and all that kind of stuff about how wonderful they were. All of it's lies, but they would have had contact with Israelites as small, irritating tribal groups. Is that clear? It's just the nature of the beast. They would have also seen these people as constantly fighting and squabbling. Fighting them and squabbling with each other. They would have also seen these people as groups that move, hide, and are not permanent. How do I know that? Well, we'll get to that in the next point. Look at me. If you're running back up into the hills, living in caves, hiding out, how do you think Big Egypt's going to think about this little group of Jewish people? Friends, I will say this to you. I do not understand why we have people that don't believe the biblical story, but then I do. We don't know the biblical story. We're not taking seriously what it says. And when you don't take seriously what it says, you ask questions, and you can't get the right answer because the question is wrong. Where is Israel? Wait a minute. Ask that question once David gets around, Solomon, and further. There's, by the way, University of Chicago, Oriental Institute, there are several things there that mention Israelites. There's a stela there that has one of the, I think, the northern kings bowing and bringing tribute, I believe, it's been a while, I can't remember which one, to an Assyrian king. Folks, everybody knew them at that time. But if you're looking at the time of the judges, you have a bunch of squabbling people that hate each other, that anytime there's a problem, they go hide in the caves and in the dens and in the mountains and in the desert. I don't think superpowers would have cared much about them. Now, if we had time, which we don't, I would discuss the next statement. I'll just mention it. If we look at America, first people from England came here in 1607. Napoleon, which was in power a couple of times in the late 1700s and early 1800s, please look at me. How would Napoleon have been nervous about the United States? Well, first of all, we're nothing. Friend, I'm not going to read all this. We weren't anything until World War I, and that was accidental. We finally got into World War I. At the end of World War I, I think other countries were realizing, huh, who are these people? So, you know, we're asking questions that just don't make sense. What we want is, we want this group of people to leave Egypt, conquering heroes, ride off into the sunset, destroy everything, build up a great civilization, but we want it 300, 400, 500 years before it happened. You're not going to find archaeological evidence of that which never existed. Look at me. You're looking for the coat when your coat is home. Turn the light on. I don't have time to deal with that other. That's just an interesting question to me. How do people look at us? Would they be afraid? Number 9. The Israelites, obviously, I've been insinuating this, did not always live a settled existence. Not only were they tribal, but they moved around because of pressure. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? Judges 1:34. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan where? Up into the hill countries, what we would call it today, mountains. But don't think of Rockies. Don't think of the Smokies. Think of the Ozarks. That would be fair. Hills, seriously, but we're not talking 15,000 feet. All right? Judges 5. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied. And travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of villages, what? What? So you're sitting there, look at me. Here's an archaeologist. I'm going to go to Israel and prove the Bible. I'm going to find Jewish cities. Did you just read that? Which one were you looking for? The one that didn't exist? Friends, I think we're looking always for wrong information, which causes us problems. We will look on. We've already read Judges 6:2. Judges 6:6, and Israel was greatly impoverished. Chapter 19, I don't want to read that, but basically there were so few Jewish cities to go to, he finally found one which was worse than the others. 1 Samuel 13, we're at the end now of the era of the judges. 1 Samuel 13:6. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait or a difficult spot, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves. Where? In thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. Chapter 14:11. And both of them discovered themselves into the garrison of the Philistines. This is talking about Jonathan and his armor bearer. And the Philistines said, yeah, these Hebrews come out of their holes where they have hid themselves. So you're wondering, what do the Egyptians think about the Jews? I would be wondering, the Philistines tell you exactly what they think. These are people that are tribal, they don't have much, and they keep running off anytime we want to fight. Sorry, you were saying, I thought Gideon destroyed the Hittites and the Egyptians in one day. Okay, I don't think so. Next in your notes, the Israelites lived, according to Judges, on farms, small villages, and a few cities. That's what we find, friends, in the book of Judges. We just don't find these massive cities with centralized. We find people living tribally. Most of them were farmers. Most of them lived in very small villages, and just a couple of what we, and a city even is debatable. Next in your notes. Some might have been semi-nomadic. It seems like some of the groups might have been people that kind of went back and forth between farming and maybe herding, that sort of thing. And some obviously escaped back into some very remote areas, according to the text. All right, everybody look at me. Is everybody kind of with me tonight? Is this deep? I'll tell you what's deep about it. There's only one thing deep about it. You don't write down and you don't learn what I have shared with you in 30 seconds, no matter how bright you are. This comes from a lifetime of reading Judges and seeing what's there. And see, here's the problem. If you go to Judges to find the heroes, you walk away with Gideon being a good guy, and you've missed the whole book of Judges, because in the book of Judges, in those days, there was no in Israel. No central authority, no central city. There was a sanctuary, but it only shows up in one or two places, and mostly late during Samuel's time. Things are very small, tribal, movement, hiding, running, fighting. Number six, the Israelites lacked at this time a capital city. They lacked a central sanctuary. Now, they should have had a central sanctuary. I even had a person tell me, well, Pastor, they did have the tabernacle. Please look me in the eyes and tell me where it was. By the way, when you get to 1 Samuel, you can find it. Wherever it was, friends, I don't know. So these people, they're just confused. They can't, you know, here you are archaeologically. You don't have a central, in a small country, you don't have the central city. You don't have the central sanctuary. We continue. Well, and I just end with saying this. They also didn't have other unifying factors. They had all of these and more in prophecy, because the Deuteronomy says, when you go into the land, I'm going to choose a city. But here's the problem. It took 400 years to get it. Nearly. 340 at least. Well, more than that, because it didn't really happen until David. Saul was 340 years after Joshua or so. Friends, that's a long time. So, was there an Exodus? Yes. Did God perform miracles? Yes. But do me a favor, don't try to find in Israel what the Bible says was never there. That's my whole point of 2 weeks. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen.